Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here's your host, Bob Gibson.
This is Catholic Sports View, and I am Bob Gibson. Thanks again for joining us this week. Later on in the show, we're going to talk some J. Sarah Catholic High School girls volleyball. They just wrapped up their season. A little bit of a disappointment, but we're going to talk with their head coach, Mike Murphy. They had a fabulous season. I know they didn't like the way it ended in the first round of the playoffs, but nonetheless, the Lady Lions had a really good season, and that program is one of the top ones in Southern California in the Trinity League. We'll also hear from Steve Virgin, longtime sports writer here in Southern California. He covered the modern-day football game, the first-round playoff football game, and we'll get his impressions of the Monarchs as well. But let's kick off the show this week with some breaking news. Bol Bol is transferring from modern day. He has said goodbye to the Monarchs, and he's transferring to a school in Nevada. And let's bring in Frank Burleson, because he's a longtime reporter here in Southern California as well. And nobody has their pulse on basketball here in Southern California like Frank Burleson. Frank, thanks for joining us. Short notice this week here on Catholic Sports View.
My pleasure, Bob. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew where to go to get the real story behind Bol Bol leaving modern day. And that is breaking news here just in the latter part of this week. He will transfer into Findlay Prep. That is a school in Nevada. What the heck is going on here, Frank?
Well, Findlay Prep, just outside of Las Vegas in Henderson, is a prep school. So it's not really even a school itself. It's basically a basketball program, and their students, the players, the student athletes that are part of the basketball program, attend classes at, I think it's called Henderson International School.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not totally surprising. I got to tell you, Bob, based on, especially through the summer, what transpired into the fall and now early winter. You know, Bol Bol is outstanding talent, certainly a unique basketball player at 7'2", 7'3", and a whole lot of physical athletic gifts, but I'm not sure he really ever bought in totally to being a part of the basketball program on modern day in terms of participation and in all games other than the regular season and the playoffs. I mean, he missed a whole lot of those spring and fall and summer events and games for his teammates, missed practices a lot. So I kind of got the sense from an outsider's perspective that, you know, he never really emotionally bought into it or in terms of commitment, in terms of all the commitments basketball players at elite programs, you know, most certainly at modern day have to do other than just playing in the game. So, you know, God bless him. He's an extraordinary talent, and hopefully you know, he can get his academics together and get a senior season started, have a great season, and, you know, go on to college, wherever that might be. But I think one thing is, it shouldn't be a situation where people who follow high school basketball, that modern day is going to take a step back. I mean, firsthand, Bishop Montgomery, Torrance Bishop Montgomery, the defending state open division champions, you know, I saw modern day play them back in September, and Bishop Montgomery was full strength, and modern day didn't have Bol Bol at the time, and modern day still beat them. So again, I think this certainly, you know, led by Spencer Friedman and Michael Wong and Harrison Butler, I think there's more than enough talent, depth, and leadership and skilled players on hand for modern day to, you know, make a strong push for Southern Section Open Division Championship and a state title.
Yeah, for sure. The cupboard is certainly not empty at modern day.
No.
We're talking with Frank Burleson, a longtime prep basketball writer here in Southern California. If anybody's got their finger on the pulse of what's going on here in the basketball world and nationwide, really, it's Frank. Taking a couple of minutes to talk about the breaking news that Bol Bol is transferring from modern day. He'll go to Findlay Prep in Henderson, Nevada. Now, he's not the only player leaving modern day, as we found out. They're losing a point guard, too, who came from Seattle and then has suddenly decided to go back to Seattle, I guess.
Yeah, P.J. Fuller is a very physically gifted player, a 6'4 guard. I'm not sure he's really a point guard. He certainly played a whole lot of a point guard at modern day this season with Spencer Friedman there. But, you know, very gifted player. And, again, any speculation about the loss of Fuller for modern day to me is really kind of moot because, you know, how do you describe, how do you talk about or speculate about the loss of a player who never really was in reality a part of the program? I think I know when he enrolled at modern day, he had a back injury or neck injury or something. I know he missed a whole lot of workouts and fall league games. Again, very gifted player. I mean, certainly Gary McKnight would have found a lot of quality minutes for him if he stuck around, but he didn't. And again, you know, certainly the loss of Bobo potentially is a much more significant loss because of Bobo's incredibly unique physical elements that he brings, be it size and athletic skill, whereas Fuller, as good as he is, they've got a lot of, you know, they got some good players at that size and on the perimeter who would certainly, it won't impact, if this makes sense, it won't impact the kind of team that modern day is going to be or would be without Bobo, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, as we know, and you know, you mentioned Coach McKnight. I mean, this is a system that he's had in place for so many years. He is definitely the man in charge there. There's nobody that's going to come in and be able to usurp his power. I mean, he is modern day basketball. So, I mean, it's Coach McKnight's program. So, you know, I don't want to say pieces are interchangeable, but, you know, hey, if someone doesn't want to be part of the program, fine, go. Good luck to you. And modern day basketball is going to be as strong as ever.
Yeah, and Bob, the key word you're just talking about here is so many people who follow basketball, be it you know, NBA, college, or high school, or even lower levels, talk about teams. Well, to me, what I found, and I believe through a whole lot of years of watching the sports, is basketball entities are more than teams. A lot of people have good teams. You could have a good team 1 year and maybe a good team 3 to 4 years later, depending on, you know, the number of particular players you might have in a year or the quality of a player you might have in a particular season. The elite programs are just that. They're programs. They stay at a pretty consistent level of excellence and execution and stability and of a foundation of the way they do things on and off the court year in and year out, regardless of, you know, how many blue chip prospects you might be, how many future pros, how many future college players. And again, modern day is a program, and not to make this Sebastian bubble, but a lot of the things he wanted to do didn't quite fit in with the notion of what the program that Gary McKnight has kind of established. And again, no fault of his. I mean, there's plenty of places Bobo could go to where, you know, showing up at all the games and showing up at every practice isn't such a compelling requirement.
Right. You wouldn't think, right? I mean, and I suppose there'd be enough pressure on if he was just Bol, just, you know, great basketball player. But, you know, coming from the lineage, you know, his father was Manute Bol, the NBA player. So that just puts the spotlight even more on him, I suppose, as you're going around town.
Yeah. And sometimes maybe it is unfair expectations.
Sure.
Certainly,
sure.
You know, somebody like me looks at him and sees all this immense size and talent, athletic gifts, and basketball gifts. I mean, and you kind of expect him, and especially when, as you said, you know, the bloodline, Bob, you know, son of a late, great, outstanding NBA player, Manute Bol. And again, you know, you only have to look back a few years to see kind of the same situation at modern day when Michael Cage,
yes,
you know, had a very, very, you know, good four-season career at modern day, had some very good seasons, very good games, and won some good honors, and was part of some very good teams. But he always kind of left you thinking, he should be doing more, he should be a little more tougher, he should be the physical, dominant president that his dad was. Well, you can't always assume a kid's going to play exactly like his father did or even be as good of a player as his father did just because he might be a little taller or this is a different era.
Yeah, so true. We're so quick to compare, but that's not always the fair thing to do. Last couple of moments here with Frank Burleson. Real quick, we talked about, you know, modern day and Bishop Montgomery. Just give us kind of a quick run around in Southern California. What are some of the other programs, you know, we should be looking forward to as we, on our show here, we start to transition from football to basketball here pretty quick?
Well, you know, your show's going to have, I think, about a good solid month to go of the quality football the way things went for the Monarchs. But
I think,
you know, it's funny, Bob, you talk about, again, example of what I was talking about in terms of programs. You know, obviously, you know, modern day's losing Bobo and a couple of the key players from last year. And Bishop Montgomery lost Ethan Thompson to Oregon State and Jordan Shackle to San Diego State. And Sierra Canyon basically lost their whole team. And Chino Hill certainly lost, you know, the two balls,
right.
The younger ball who's no longer attending high school, and Ligiello, who's at modern day, UCLA, and then Eli Scott, who's starting as a freshman for Loyola Marymount. Despite all those losses, I think if you had to pencil it in right now and say, okay, project the four best teams in the southern section going into the season, you know, a couple of weeks before the season really starts, you'd go with those four teams again. So I think you start with those four teams and then just turn over to the Trinity, look at the rest of the Trinity. You know, Santa Margarita is going to be a very, very, very good team and, you know, potential open division team for the third year in a row. I think Jay Sarah was the open division team last year. and they have a chance to be very, very good again. And I think Orange Lutheran is going to be very, very young, a lot of underclassmen in the lineup, but they're physically gifted. And I mentioned Servite, you know, and Anaheim. Coach Morris does an outstanding job, just kind of buried it in a tremendous, you know, the best basketball league in the state. And, you know, and St. John Bosco over in Belfort, of course, has a good, solid basketball program. So if you start with those four open division returnees, the semifinalists of last year, and you look at teams like in the Trinity League and then Oak Park over out in the San Fernando Valley and Damien out in the Inland Empire, it's going to be I would be hesitant to say that there's going to be anybody as good as Bishop Montgomery was last year, when I think they lost two games all season to good teams. And certainly 2 years ago when, you know, Chino Hills was one of the most dominant high school basketball teams in the state's history. I don't think there's going to be anybody that good, but I think they have potential for, you know, modern day Bishop Montgomery, Sierra Canyon with all their good transfers, and Chino Hills with a new coach, Davis Lattimore, and still, you know, Onyeka Okongwu around, you know, probably the most dominant 2019 big man in Southern California. There's still going to be a heck of a season in terms of, you know, not only through December and January and February, but when the playoffs get started.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun season for sure. And much reading is your website. Let everybody know where they can find your work and where they can read your stuff.
Yeah, www.burlesonbasketball.com. And I also do a lot of writing for Prep Hoops, SoCal Prep Hoops, which is a website, too, that myself and Devin Uglin and Joel Francis, outstanding Southern California base.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Really good stuff on there. Frank Juan, thank you for joining us. I hope we can reconnect with you during the basketball season a couple of times and talk some more hoops, because, like you said, it's going to be a great season.
Looking forward to it, Bob.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. That's Frank Burleson, and we will have more right here on Catholic Sports U. When we come back, you're listening to Relevant Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and joining us right now on the phone is Steve Virgin. He was out at the Modern Day first round playoff game. He was covering the game for the Orange County Register. And Steve, thanks for joining us here this week on Catholic Sports View.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I know you had a chance to see, I think it was the first time you were seeing Modern Day this year, correct?
That is correct.
What were your impressions of their 49-7, even easier than it sounds, victory over Vista Murrieta in the first round of the CIF playoffs?
I was doing my best not to concentrate on the opponent, but having said that, I was just thoroughly impressed with Modern Day. They're truly unstoppable, I believe.
Yeah, we've been covering them all season long, obviously, here as we cover the Trinity League and in its entirety, and what a season it's been. But, you know, this Modern Day team, as I've said before, is just completely on another planet, it seems like. I mean, you've covered football for a long time. Have you ever seen a team that looks, you know, this good at this point in the season?
I have not. It's just really impressive. And the story that I wrote, it started out with an inauspicious start for Modern Day because they fumbled. But you could just tell that was just like a blip. It wasn't anything a big deal, just like what Coach Rawlinson said. It wasn't a big deal. They knew that they were going to get their points, and they just went back to it. And that's really what they did. It's just like they're expected to win. They don't let that pressure get to them and just keep on going. It's like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, it's so true. When you were talking with Coach after the game, I'm sure you had a chance to talk with some of the players as well. What were the things that, you know, you kind of noticed about this team, kind of away from the game playing?
You know, they got the big picture in mind. They really are focused on winning a CIF championship. And, you know, just from what I got, it's like anything less, it's going to be a failure. You know, they really believe that, and they want to bring that championship because, That's what they're in it for. That's, you know, they're the top seed, and at the same time, they don't really look like they're under pressure. They believe that they can do it, and I think everybody around the team believes that this is the year.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, all the conversations I've had, right? Everybody, they came off the season a year ago, losing to St. John Bosco in the CIF championship, and right away they said they even named this season the season of redemption. I mean, and that really is what they've gone into, you know, this year. You know, the collection of talent. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, you've covered some great teams over the years. I've covered some great teams. I've never seen this much talent on any one team, and I don't know if you can even think of one yourself that maybe even compares to this one.
I can't. I mean, I think we were talking, you and I were talking about Carson Palmer when he played. That was just a high level of talent back in the day. And, you know, Tustin, that game will go down in history too. The game against Tustin with Deshaun Foster, just a collection of great talent on both sides of the field, and I'm sure we're going to see some great games coming up ahead too. But you know, I think it's not outrageous to say that this is one of the greatest teams of all time, just because of the talent on the field and the chemistry too. That can't be denied. You know, they really are on the same page on offense, on defense. They really get after it, and you can tell they're just frustrating opponents.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point. I think that's an excellent point that you bring up. And we're talking with Steve Virgin. He covered the first-round modern-day playoff football game for the Orange County Register this past week. Chemistry is one of those words everybody kind of throws around. Is it important? Is it not? But I think in high school sports, I think it really is something that's important. I think it's important to have kids who like to get out there and play for one another, especially in football.
Yeah, it's a big key, and it goes a long way this past game against Mr. Marietta. They were able to get some other kids in the game, and they were still able to score some points. And you could just tell everybody was happy for each other, happy for one another, just to be a part of that victory. And you know, this every week is going to be a big test. They know that, and I think once they rely on each other, I think they will be able to conquer it.
Right. Yeah. So true. As a reporter, you're out watching. You know, we've all watched different levels of football over the years, but obviously the Trinity League is a cut above, you know, everybody else. Do you think we're seeing the best football in the nation? I mean, I know it's hard to compare, but it's hard to argue that we're not, right?
I mean, it really is. I mean, you see some of the rankings nationwide, and I think this is some of the best football in the nation. It was just a treat for me to be able to see it. I was excited, you know, just to see what was going on, because it has been a lot of, you know, a lot of buzz for the team, and it's not just, you know, it's just not countywide or region wide. It's, you know, it is nationwide, and people are taking notice. And especially when you got a quarterback already committed to USC, it's just even more people have eyes on this team, and I'm sure they'll be the case even more once they play in the championship game, and once some more of these kids start to commit.
I said it 2 weeks ago, and I thought, man, I don't know. When I said it, I said this may be the best team that ever takes a football field in state history. And I thought, man, that's quite a statement. I don't know if we're going to go back on that or not. But the more I thought about it, I thought, no, you know what? Personally, you know, I've been covering football in Southern California since the early 90s, 1991. And I said, I have not seen a team even close to this good. And so I'll stand by it. I think at least in Southern California, in the Southern section, I have not seen a team that could even touch this team. And there's been some good ones over the years.
I'd be interested to see how Coach Rallo would answer that question as well. This has to be one of the better teams that he's had at modern day, and it would just be interesting to see what he would have to say about that too.
Yeah, I think maybe when the season's all done and however it finishes, and I know they're hoping for obviously for a CIF championship, and you know, certainly a state, and you know, the mythical national championship is certainly on the line. They're ranked number one in just about every, you know, national poll you can find. Right, I'm sure maybe at that point that's when he might say, okay, this, you know, we might find out what his true feelings are about this team compared to some of the other great ones he's had over the years.
Yeah, it's just impressive. It really is the firepower that they have, and just the talent on both sides of the ball. That game that I saw on Friday, I just never saw them get down. Never saw them lose faith at all, or they knew they were going to win that game.
It's so true. We're visiting with Steve Virgin. He covered the game for the Orange County Register this past week. The modern-day first-round playoff victory, they will take on Long Beach Poly. And actually, as you listen to the show right now, that Long Beach Poly game will have already been played. So we'll have the result of that for you on next week's show as well. We'll talk a little bit about that. Steve, you've been a reporter here in Southern California for a long time. I just kind of want to talk about you a little bit as well, and kind of get your background and how you got started covering high school sports here in Southern California.
Oh, right out of high school, I was reading LA Times. LA Times sports section. Jim Murray was an idol of mine, and somebody I still, to this day, always look up to and strive to have that type of work ethic. And he was one of the main reasons why I got into sports writing. Out of high school, I was a freelance writer, kind of like what I'm doing now. And back then, it was for the San Gabriel Valley Tribune. And out of high school, I went to Citrus College, did some journalism classes, and went to Fresno State. And I don't know if you remember Fresno State back then was when Jerry Tarkanian was there.
Right.
And Coach Pat Hill for football.
Pat Hill for football, absolutely.
It was just a great time for covering sports as far as a student journalist goes. And it was fun. It was a great learning experience, and I think it led me to stay in the business. job became the daily pilot after that. And I was there for about 4 years, and I went to Bakersfield, California, and covered athletes like Ryan Matthews back then.
Right.
He was a pretty good football player, and led me back to Orange County because Orange County is a pretty great place to live.
For sure.
And fortunately, the daily pilot got a job for me, and was there for the past 11 years working as a sports editor.
Yeah, and obviously you've covered some big events. You know, that Newport Mesa area is loaded with great athletes over the years. What are some of the standout stories you remember that you got a chance to cover?
So many. I've been so fortunate to cover such a great area, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, as well as Laguna Beach and Huntington Beach. There was a lot of great stories that come out, and covering Olympic athletes like Misty May and Aaron Parasol. Those are definitely highlights for me. You know, I got into the business because I love football so much. But when I got to the area, I just noticed that, you know, sports like volleyball and aquatics was so big in Orange County, and especially Newport Beach. And to meet somebody like Aaron Parasol was definitely a highlight for me, because I got to know him as a person as well. It was just a great experience to see him grow up and be able to, you know, stand on that podium with the gold medal representing our country.
Right. And then it came full circle for him coming back to coach at Newport Harbor, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that just says the type of person he is right there, you know, for him to come back. And he set a huge example. A lot of his friends from that time when he was in high school also came back. You know, Ross Sinclair is also a water polo coach there. And it's just a neat place to be. It's a popular place, but it still has that hometown feel. And it was great that they also included me as just part of the reporter. You know, I was telling the story, but they also wanted me to be in the store because they just were so welcoming.
Yeah, it's so true. I can attest to it too. I did news on TV for 15 years in that area, and you're absolutely right. It's got that community feeling, but there's so many great athletes that have come through the fields at Newport Harbor, Costa Mesa, Estancia. You know, you know all those great schools that you got a chance to cover as well. What are you looking forward to now? I guess, you know, basketball season obviously is what comes next on the big sports, but some of the other little sports, quote unquote, as we talk about, just so many other fun stories out there still to cover, right?
Yeah, you know, basketball's huge. It's a lot of fun, and I'm definitely looking forward to basketball. That will be key. And I mean, before the fall season ended, I got to spend some time with the Rodman family that they transferred to Jay Serra, left Cone Del Mar. That was a big story.
Wow.
And it was just kind of neat to see the family really believing in themselves, and that they're trying to make the best decision for themselves. And you get a kid with so much attention like Dennis Rodman Jr.
Yeah.
He wants to live up to expectations. And I try to be objective, but I do hope the best for the kid. I hope that it's the right move, and everybody will be happy, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of the things about it as reporters, right? We can kind of get attached to certain kids and certain athletes at times. You know, you want to root for these kids. You know, you want them to get all the best things in life when you see them, you know, working hard for their goal. You know, it's always a big thing.
For sure, especially if they're making the right decisions. You know, I don't want to see the kids fail, for sure, so.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, Steve, we want to thank you for taking a couple of minutes and joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. You know, we're calling you again because I know you got a pulse on what's going on in Southern California, and we'll look for your byline around Southern California, and we'll be calling on you again to talk local sports.
Appreciate it. Look forward to it. Thanks a lot, Bob.
That's Steve Virgin, longtime sports reporter here in Southern California, and we'll have much more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back. You're listening to Relevant Radio. Let's kick off this week's show by welcoming in Mike Murphy. He's the head girls volleyball coach at J. Sarah Catholic. Coach, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
My pleasure. It's nice to be on the show.
Hey, kind of want to start off by talking about, obviously, your team right now. As of the time we are taping this interview, you're in third place in the Trinity League, 5-3, just a game off Santa Margarita and a couple off the pace of course, Mater Dei, the top team in the Trinity this season. You happy with the way things are going to this point with your team?
Oh, yeah, I'm very pleased, very proud of my team this year. Our seniors have been awesome. We have three seniors. One's a setter, Kate Gonzalez. Then I have Lizzie Schreier at libero and Caroline Kennedy as an outside. And they're big contributors. They believe in the culture, and they really set the pace for the rest of the girls to follow. So this season, when we matched up against Modern Day, we actually lost to them in five at our place. It was a thrilling five-set match, and we just didn't have what it took to overcome those guys. And had we have won that match, we would have been in a three-way tie for first in Trinity League.
Are these part of the growing pains that happen for a program? I mean, is there a growing curve or, a thing that needs to happen for a program to get over the top against a top program like Modern Day?
Yeah, I think that they are part of the growing pains for sure, because you're trying to not convince, but just get a group of girls to believe that they're capable of representing their school against a more established program that's had greater success in the past. And, we're still relatively young in comparison to these other schools, but we're starting to attract the type of student athletes that are capable of, really going head to head and challenging, being a formidable opponent in the Trinity League. So I think it's all part of the process and part of the journey.
Mike Murphy joining us, head girls volleyball coach at J. Sarah Catholic. You started off on quite a run this season. You didn't lose a match for, I believe, about the first month. You never want to lose, right? You never want to lose, but is there things you can learn out of losing? That are the things you've been able to apply to your team this year that this team has taken away from sometimes losing a match?
Yeah, totally. I mean, the goal is, of course, we play to win, and we want to win a certain way. And losses aren't a problem, but it's how you lose and it's why you lose. So at any given point in the season, I think the best team in Trinity League had five or six losses. And so I think that what I want to instill in my girls is, hey, let's plan on winning and let's continue to really keep our eyes set on what the big goals are this season. And as we come and encounter a loss, I mean, it's all about how we handle ourselves moving forward through that loss.
Is that tough as a coach? Obviously, you're dealing with, 15, 16, 17-year-old students here that, volleyball is not the only thing going on in their lives. Obviously, there's so many other things in the life of a high school student. Are you playing, coach and dad and other things at certain times as well?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's at the top of my list for things that I would prefer to accomplish and be recognized for this year is, being a good leader, having great relationships and connections with his players, and teaching them about the valuable life lessons that are learned through competing and being a daughter and being a strong, young, powerful woman that makes solid choices based on who she knows and who she's convinced that she is. So 100%, that's right on the forefront of my mission statement for sure as a coach.
And obviously, as I know, talking to others within J. Sarah, Chris Ledyard, your athletic director over there, that, it's a wide-arching goal for the entire campus, the entire J. Sarah community to, turn out good young people that when they leave the doors after 4 years at J. Sarah, they're ready to tackle the world as good people.
Yeah, that's definitely part of our mission statement at J. Sarah, to develop the faith, intellect, and character of the young student athletes that are under our influence. And I feel like we've had some great mentors. Myself as a coach, I come from an extensive background with Troy Tanner. He's a two-time gold medalist, and he currently runs T Street Volleyball Club. And his philosophy and his approach, I've kind of really adopted that and incorporated it into my program at J. Sarah, which is just, the kids need to feel great about themselves. They need to be enthusiastic about coming to practice, and they need to be part of a culture that serves as a vehicle to get them to where they want to be based on, their goals and their plans and their ambitions. So take some work, but at the end of the day, these young women are fully capable and they're confident.
Yeah, give us a little bit of your background. Obviously, you played high school volleyball, Dana Hills High School, correct?
Yes.
So you're an Orange County guy, South Orange County. You know the area well. At what point did you get in the back of your mind, hey, maybe coaching's my future?
Yeah, I've always been wired. I was a setter, and so I was always the team captain, the quarterback kind of the team running the show. And I had great relationships with the players around me. I went through Orange Coast College for 2 years, and we took third in state. And then I went on to set for Hope International University. And it was kind of there where I started pursuing my teaching credential. And I got hired as a coach at T Street Volleyball Club. And I really grew to love the relationship between what we do on the court and how it relates to what we do off the court and how we conduct ourselves. And then, of course, I got married. I've been married 10 years now. I have four beautiful young children and an awesome wife. So I mean, it really drives what I do on this earth. I mean, we only have so much time. I think for me and the way that God has designed me, this is the perfect avenue to function my strengths and my gifts.
Being a father at home, and then, you know, as we talked about, kind of being one at school at times too, you really feel like that's kind of your role in life, is to mentor not only your own children, but, you know, other people's children who are entrusted to you for the time that you have them playing volleyball.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's definitely guidance and support that young kids need to navigate kind of the challenges and the freedoms that they possess in this world. And, you know, if at the end of the day, I can say, hey, was I a good father, and did I treat them like and honor them like daughters, you know, then I feel like I'm successful. And I think that looking back on this season, and in the midst of all the success and all the triumphs that we did accomplish, we just had our banquet recently, and that was really the pinnacle of the season, was looking back at these seniors, what they've passed on, where they're going in the future, and how I've had an impact on them. And I just think that that's definitely why coaches get into this role of leadership.
Obviously, you know, Catholic is in the names, J. Sarah Catholic, and obviously faith plays a big role, and I imagine your day-to-day, it plays a role within your program as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the girls are great. We listen to, a lot of times we listen to worship music during practice. We pray every practice. We definitely reference, I mean, our verse for the year was kind of like, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight that it's so easily entangles us, and let us press forward to the calling that God has set us to and finish the race, you know. So that's on the agenda every day. We're really seeking to get these girls to be united by one accord and to really see how great their achievements can be by setting their eyes on, you know, their creator God.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. Mike Murphy joining us, the head girls volleyball coach at J. Sarah Catholic High School. You know, obviously the season ends in disappointment, you know, in the CIF playoffs, 3-2 loss to Foothill, you know, and that's after beating Santa Margarita, you know, earlier, you know, which had to be a nice way to finish things off in league play, was to get that win over a great Santa Margarita team. As you kind of look at the arcing curve of the season, I mean, from where the girls started to where they've, you know, finished up here, how much further have you come, have the girls come, has the program come at this point?
Yeah, just in this year, I mean, we started off, as you referred to, with a lot of success. Ironically enough, we did play Foothill in the final at the Queen's Court tournament, where we won that tournament. We were the champions, and we beat them in the final. And fast forward full circle, we played them in the first round of CIF. And I think that, you know, we had a bye for our last game right after defeating Santa Margarita at their place in five. And so we kind of had a little bit of time off from competing. So I think that the girls, you know, it's a long season, and we play hard and we practice hard and we watch video. And so I think that it just wasn't our night. I mean, we showed up at Foothill and we took the first two sets off of them, and it wasn't easy, and we weren't playing necessarily our best, but the girls were warriors and we kept battling through it. And unfortunately we lost a couple close sets, and then the fifth set didn't go our way. But I mean, you don't judge the season based on how it ends. You kind of judge it based on the total effort and the investment and the faith and the, you know, the commitment that these kids made. And I'm very, very satisfied with the way we performed throughout the entirety of the year. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way at the end.
Yeah. What's the message to the girls? Generally, what's the message to them when you hit that high, you take the time off, and then you kind of, you feel like, hey, we didn't quite get to where we thought we could get to.
Yeah. The message is, you know, I mean, how are we going to manage our disappointment, and how are we going to channel our frustration when things don't go our way? And I think that we all are accountable for how the team wins or how the team loses. And we all could have, you know, said, I wish we did this, or I wish we did that. But at the end of the day, it's about moving forward. And that's kind of the motto of our school. It's siempre adelante, and it's always forward. And so, I mean, I think that it's just about acknowledging what did not work out for us, and then seeing how we can move forward and take, you know, a lot of the experiences that we shared with some of our seniors this year, and how we can, you know, prepare for next year, next season.
We're going to take a quick break here on Catholic Sports View. When we come back, more with Mike Murphy, the head volleyball coach at J. Sarah Catholic. We'll be right back right here on Relevant Radio.
Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and we're joined by the head girls volleyball coach at J. Sarah Catholic High School, continuing our conversation with Mike Murphy. Coach, you know, where we left off, you know, we talked about the disappointment of the way the season ended for you and your team, the loss in the first round of the CIF playoffs. Obviously, you want to leave the girls, especially the seniors, with all the good memories. And I imagine you mentioned you just had your banquet recently, and I imagine that's what you tried to leave everybody with at that point, was all the highs of the season.
Yeah, we definitely want to. I mean, I'm a big fan of learning from mistakes and becoming a better person. But at the end of the day, you have to enjoy the successes and the achievements that you've gained, because we always want to be growing. And so at the banquet, I mean, that was the theme. It was to celebrate the girls and to highlight, you know, the victories that we did have and all of the good. That's what we want to take away from it, you know. And of course, the girls, they feel great about that. You know, you see smiles on their face. You see a culture that's bright. And I wouldn't want to do anything to deter us away from continuing to have. I mean, it was another groundbreaking year for us at the school and for the program. So, yeah, that's the lasting note that I want to leave.
This was your fifth season, I believe, at J. Sarah. Do you feel like the program is exactly, you know, kind of what you want it to be? You know, molded into the image of what you know, what would be your vision for it?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting closer every year. I mean, things take time because, you know, you're really the culture and the girls and their buy-in, it drives the volleyball. And so if you get a bunch of girls that are happy and they want to work hard for each other and they want to be great teammates and they seek to put value on every day and they commit, you know, I mean, that's when the magic happens. And so I think we're one step closer to that. And we've had several key victories, several key players come throughout the program, and I think that the future is bright for the program. I think that girls in the area that are elite volleyball players and want to get a terrific education at J. Sarah, I think that there's an open door for them.
Yeah, obviously, I would think there's a certain level of athlete that you need, that anybody in the Trinity League needs to compete at that level. I mean, to be able to compete with those teams, you know, you're trying to get a certain level of athlete to come in and play volleyball for you.
Yeah, definitely. They have to be. I mean, it takes an excellent person to accomplish, you know, excellent things. So I definitely believe that, you know, there's a lot of talent and there's a lot of great families out there. And I feel like we're a terrific destination if you want to get prepared for college, if you want to get prepared for your future. Yeah, I think J. Sarah is right on the map.
Yeah, so much depends too on the strength of the athletic department, and I know you know, you're in good hands at AJ Sarah. We, you know, we mentioned Chris Ledyard earlier. We think of him as new on the job. He is, but boy, the what he's been able to do in his short time now at J. Sarah is nothing short of incredible. And then you've got so many other great coaches within that athletic department. I would imagine that it's a nice resource to have all these people around you that you can kind of pick their brains a little bit too as fellow coaches and athletic directors, and they're right there at the school.
Yeah, there's a ton of support, you know, between the sports. I mean, we have basketball players coming to our games. We have baseball players coming to our games. The things that we've done with the football stadium and being able to host home matches for football, I mean, the whole community is really coming together. And I have a ton of respect for Chris Ledyard and all that he's been able to accomplish in a short time here. And the guy, he gets the big picture. He understands that we all need to be united and we all need to be championing the J. Sarah mission. And, you know, so I feel like we're in good hands. And I feel like now it's time to build for the future.
Is that fun when you see, hey, you know, maybe you look over and you say, hey, the baseball coach is out here and he's cheering us on tonight. And then you say, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to go cheer on the basketball team, or we're going to go cheer on, you know, the swim team or whatever it is. I mean, you've got that camaraderie that happens between sports and between, you know, people within the school.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about the culture, and it's about, you know, enjoying the, creating these lasting memories. And, you know, I coach a lot of club volleyball, and the thing about high school that's so special is all these kids are continually relating to one another. They're sharing classes, experiences, friendships. And then when they get to do that after school and be part of, you know, a sport at J. Sarah, I mean, you can really see that there's these lasting bonds taking place, and that there's a ton of good energy at the school.
You know, you mentioned club volleyball, and, you know, club volleyball is obviously, you know, a big part of the volleyball culture. You know, you yourself played as well as a young man. Talk about the positives of the club experience, and then maybe how it translates to kids coming over when they do play their high school season.
Yeah, I think that there are, we live in a really competitive, condensed region of elite volleyball players that specialize from an early age. So there's a ton of competition in our area, and so we really have some of the best of the best. And you know, when you become a freshman at a high school, most girls nowadays have, you know, a few years of experience, and they've specialized in a position, so they're really becoming more and more talented and more disciplined, more and more focused from an early age. So I think that the club volleyball culture really encourages girls to compete. I mean, we're one of the top regions in the nation, and from a club standpoint, I've won silver medals and bronze medals, and we've won qualifiers. And, you know, I mean, the sport is a fast growing sport, and there's a ton of opportunity for girls to continue playing in college, receive scholarships. And so I think it does a lot for high school volleyball. And that's why we are really blessed and fortunate to compete in the Trinity League amongst the best in the state. It's not the nation.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I was going to ask you, obviously we've seen volleyball grow, especially in the Midwest. You know, there's been a great, you know, growth of, right, of volleyball within that Midwest area, especially on the collegiate level. But we're still seeing the best volleyball played right here in Southern California, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's I'm continually surrounded by club teams that are winning at the national level from our region. I mean, I'm looking at some of the top teams in Trinity League, and I see those girls on a weekly basis at different events, qualifiers, and tournaments throughout the year. And so now all these girls are finishing up CIF, they're finishing up state, and then they go to their clubs and they compete all the way through the end of June, beginning of July. So they play volleyball year-round, and yeah, I definitely think that we live in the strongest region in the nation.
Yeah, especially here in Orange County. But, you know, it's some of the school, you know, Marymount, obviously, you know, went to the championship with Mater Dei. We see them as a strong program. You know, Los Alamitos has had a strong program over the years. Are we starting to see the tide turn a little bit? Are we seeing some of these top programs year after year maybe come back to the pack a little bit? Are we starting to see the growth of other programs here in the Southern California area?
Yeah, I think it just depends on the class of freshmen that you get, and then sophomores. Mm. And, you know, some schools have the luxury to be able to, you know, field some commuter families and athletes that end up choosing their school from a variety of different schools that they could attend. And then other schools just kind of get what they get. And so I think that there definitely is incentive for being in the Trinity League, and, you know, having the ability to attract players that might not live right down the street from your school. But yeah, I think that every year, you know, I mean, anything can happen. You get a great group of kids. You have a strong group of leadership at the top with your seniors, and there's always those ebbs and flows. So each season, you just got to put your head down, work as hard as you can, and expect to have a winning season.
Yeah, absolutely, and I imagine the work ethic is the biggest thing when the kids come in into the program right away. You're asking them to do everything they can and work as hard as they can.
Right. Yeah, they got to buy in, and they got to show each other that they're willing, and they want to honor the coaches, and they want to come to practice, train, and push each other and challenge each other to be their best, for sure.
Mike Murphy, last couple of minutes with the head coach at J. Sarah Catholic High School, head girls volleyball coach. We talked a little bit about your background, you know, how you got into coaching. You know, tell us about some of the coaches that that you either played for or that you've gotten to know over the years that have kind of helped shape you and you know, the coach you've become now.
Yeah, I started off at Dana Hills. I played for Oz Simmons. He's definitely a legend, and he's a math teacher, and he's been there since, I want to say, 1983. He's still running the boys program to this day. And he taught me a lot about consistency, building routines, and just kind of how to manage yourself on a, you know, lengthy basis where it's not about one game. It's not about 1 week of strong practice. It's about a long journey, a long ride. And then I also have been coaching the last 10 years at T Street Volleyball Club under Troy Tanner. And he's really simplified the game, and he's very interested in creating rationale behind his training and his practice structure and getting kids familiar with, you know, a common language and common set of standards. And so what it really does is it allows for the kids to be part of something and they progress really rapidly. You know, it's just a really efficient way to coach the game. So I really appreciate all the things I've learned from some of the legends and some of the Jedis of the game, for sure.
Yeah. Are we seeing new innovations at all in volleyball, or is it still kind of the same game that we've seen over, you know, over the past 20, 30 years?
I think the game's gotten a lot more physical, and it's gotten quicker as far as the pace of the game. But, I mean, the mechanics are pretty close. I mean, an arm swing is an arm swing. But now with all the technology out there and, you know, with the traveling – and, you know, at the top level, I mean, everything kind of trickles down from the U.S. national team and then from some of the top NCAA programs. And so I think it's becoming more and more common to see a relatively similar structure. But there's still some room to grow, I think, for coaching and for players. But for me, I just think it's a pretty simple game. There's a lot of rhythms involved. You know, you need to have the athletes.
Yeah, it's so true. And we know you've got the athletes coach at J. Sarah. We want to thank you for coming on the show here, and we want to wish you luck going forward here. And I know that this program is trending upwards for sure there at J. Sarah.
Right on, Bob. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Mike Murphy, the head girls volleyball coach at J. Sarah High School. I want to thank all my guests this week, Mike Murphy, Steve Virgin, and Frank Burleson. And if you want to catch this show or any of the others we've had here on Catholic Sports View, just simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio. And right there, you can click on any of the podcasts and listen to these shows. Once again, we've had fun producing them, and we hope you're enjoying them. Thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith, right here on Relevant Radio. I am Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next week.